Hey, this is Eric, and welcome to the Control Alt Achieve EdTech Links of the Week for December 4th, 2023. This is the show where I share educational technology links, resources, and news that I've come across in the last week, as well as any new posts and updates from my blog. This week, we have three resources to share from around the internet and six updates from my blog. As always, you can access all of these links as well as resources from previous weeks at bit.ly/CAA-links. All right, let's get started with the links from around the internet. All right, so the first one we're going to take a look at here is called My Lens, and this is a free AI power tool to generate timelines on any subject. You basically put in your topic and then you click on create timeline, and the AI will generate a timeline with key events for that topic. You can share that final timeline as a link for others to view, or you can download it as a PNG image to use however you would like. Let's go ahead and take a look at it. So we'll head on over to the website at mylens.ai. And you see here, basically what we can do is come here and put in the description of what it is we would like a timeline of. So for my example here, let's just say I'm doing the history of artificial intelligence, which makes a lot of sense since that is one of the big topics nowadays, AI. I'll go ahead and click on create timeline. Do notice it does say you can add details for a better timeline. So this is a pretty brief description I put in there. I certainly could add more to it, but I think this should work well for us. We'll go ahead and click on create timeline. Now at this point, what it's doing is going out and getting all the information about the evolution of artificial intelligence over time. And there we go. It is now generating the timeline. If we give a little bit of time, you'll see we're getting things back from 1943. Moving forward, we've got things like the Turing test and the birth of AI. We got the Eliza chatbot. The Deep Blue victory, when IBM's Deep Blue won a game of chess against Garry Kasparov, and it keeps on going on and on. IBM's Watson winning in Jeopardy. We've got AlphaGo from Google as they defeated Lee Sedol in the Go Championships, and it looks like we're getting all the way up to ChatGPT as well. Awesome. Very nice job. Did a great job there. I love how it gives you a little description for each one of these events, as well as a nice emoji to go along with it. I think that's pretty nice. Now, again, when this is all done, we can share this a couple of ways. Up in the top, you'll see there's a button to click on share. And if I do that, that will just copy a link. And I can basically put that link out there for anybody to click on, and it will pull up this page where they can see this generated timeline. There's also a download button up here, though, as well, that will download a PNG image of the entire timeline, and you can do whatever you would like to with that. So there you go. There's a lot of timeline tools out there. I've shared bunches of them on my blog before, including the timeline tool that's built into Google Sheets, the timeline tool that Flippity has. There's a lot of great ones. Well, here's one where AI can come alongside and help you as you generate a timeline. All right, so that is My Lens, our first tool from around the internet this week. All right, let's keep on moving, and we're moving to our next topic, which is Kids Think Wide. All right, so Kids Think Wide. This got sent to me through an email. Somebody sent this to me, and I appreciate that. So please do that. If you come across a neat tool that you think I might want to share out or investigate, please do share those with me. So thanks for that. So Kids Think Wide is a free collection of engaging AI-generated images that can serve as writing prompts for students. Each image comes with a narrative writing prompt and several warm-up discussion questions. They've also got a Sparks section, which are animated writing prompts. And of course, when browsing through these images, you can filter it down by, you know, whether it's descriptive or narrative or persuasive or informative and so forth. And you are welcome to download the images and incorporate them into school projects as long as proper credit and citation is given. So let's take a look at the website. website. So this is at kidsthinkwide.com. And when you get here on the front page, you can learn a little bit more about it, as well as see a whole bunch of images that have already been generated here. This is to kind of give you a little welcome to it. Then across the top, you'll see your menu options. So for example, if I go to pictures, then that's going to bring up the hundreds of images that they have generated with AI to serve as writing prompts. So if we just scroll down through these, we're just basically randomly browsing through them. And for each one of these, you can see the image and you can see the writing prompt and the questions that go along with it. Now, you might want to narrow things down a little bit more, and you certainly can do that as well. So for example, there is just a search button at the top. You can just do a regular search, but you'll notice here there's also the filter option. So if I could say, okay, this is great, there are so many of these, but I'm looking for something that, you know, would fit well with narrative as the filter type, and I could choose that, and now it's going to reduce the amount of images that I'm seeing to ones that would fit more of a narrative type of writing prompt. Now again, for any one of these, if I decide it looks interesting and I give a click on that one, it'll take me to the page for that particular picture prompt. And again, that's where you're going to get the writing prompt itself, as well as some warm-up discussion questions to go along with it. So you as the teacher could grab these images, share them with your students, and then provide the narrative writing prompt, the warm-up discussion questions to help get them started on their writing process, or the students could be browsing the site to find something that inspires them as well. I did mention about the ones called Sparks. So you will see there is another tab at the top called Sparks, and that's where you've got some animated writing prompts as well. So if I came in and gave a click on one of these, it will look normal at first, but if you go ahead and click on it to bring it up, there's a special little button up here. It looks like a little sparkly button up here in the top right. When you click on that sparkly button, that's when you get the animated version of the writing prompt. And again, still, we have our writing prompt and we have our warm-up discussion questions to go along with that. So really nice way to use AI to generate these gorgeous images that hopefully will inspire students as they are working on their writing. So that is Kids Think Wide. Thanks so much for sharing that. All right, let's move on to our next tool. And our next tool for this week is called Revision History. So Revision History is a Chrome extension that helps teachers see student process when they are writing an essay or a report or anything in Google Docs. So the idea behind this is we want to make sure that when students are using AI to assist them in their writing, that they're being transparent about it, that it's clear that the, you know, they're saying, okay, I use the AI to assist here or there. The concern, understandably, is that a student might use AI to write their paper for them and then just copy and paste it and put it in and say, hey, I wrote this, and not, you know, give that credit to the AI or to use the AI more than they should in that particular project. Maybe in your class you say, hey, it's okay. It's okay to use AI to brainstorm. It's okay to use AI to write an outline. It's okay to use AI to provide feedback on your writing so you can improve things. But you may say in our class, it still has to be your writing. You can't just let the AI write it and paste it in for you. So how do we address that? What do we do to help with that? Well, in the past, and I'll just pop over to a sample essay here. So this is a pretend essay here on George Washington. I've used this one many times in different trainings that I do. Normally, what I encourage people to do is to use what's called version history. Now, we're gonna be talking about revision history here in a second, which builds on top of this, but version history is something that's just built into Docs. The idea being that if a student submits a document to you, you can click on the file menu, and then you can go down to version history, and then you can click on see version history. And what that does is it shows you over here on the side, and you can expand it out. It shows you a little history of the document. So you can see minute by minute as I click, you know, each entry here will show me as the document continues to be written. Now, sometimes that can really tell a tale. You can see like, wow, there's an awful lot of information that showed up in a minute. That doesn't seem realistic that a student typed that much all at once. And then other times there's just smaller portions that have been added. But sometimes that's hard to guess for sure. Like, okay, are they just a really fast typist? It's possible, you know, or are they copying and pasting? And so as much as I love version history is a little bit more of a blunt instrument. It doesn't go into as much granular detail as I sometimes wish it did. The thing is, it's tracking all of that. It's just the way that version history shows it. It kind of breaks it down minute by minute, and sometimes that's maybe not granular enough. And so the idea is we can use this extension called revision history. Now, revision history, it's just tapping into version history. It's using the tool that's already there in Google Docs, but it's pulling out more details. So you get a better picture of how much work did the student really do versus did they copy and paste things. Now, I've already got this installed. I just have it turned off here. Let me turn it back on. There we go. I've got revision history turned back on. And now if I head back over to that essay and if I refresh that essay document, you'll see that I'm now getting a new toolbar across the top here. And it says, deletions, copy paste, writing sessions, active time. Let's go through that and explain what is happening there. So basically, the extension revision history is pulling from version history inside of Google Docs to give us some key information here. Okay, so let's go ahead and just work our way across here. So the first thing it tells us is deletions. And so basically this is telling you how many times the student pressed the backspace key or they highlighted a sentence and pressed their delete button. So that can let you know how much deletions was done on this. And again, that can give you a little bit better understanding of the writing process here. Did they just copy and paste and that's it, or have they actually been going in and editing things? The next one, this is, I think, really valuable, large copy paste. It says three times that happened in this document. Now, what is considered a large copy paste? Well, if you hover above the little question mark, it lets you know that any time that you copy and paste 20 or more words or 150 or more characters, that triggers this as a large copy paste. Now, it turns out that's exactly accurate. So this document we're looking at right here, I typed the first paragraph, and then I copy-pasted the second, then I typed the third, I copy-pasted the fourth, I typed the fifth, I copy-pasted the sixth. So I went back and forth. I would type a paragraph, then I would copy-paste a paragraph. That's exactly accurate. That is correct. There were three times that I just pasted in a paragraph rather than actually typing it up. So that is completely accurate that it was able to identify that. Next up, writing sessions. This tells you how many times the student has worked on the document. And a writing session is considered, you know, an uninterrupted break if there are uninterrupted session until there's a 5 minute or more break. So if you take a break for 5 minutes or more, then it generates a new session. Well, there's just one session here. I did this all in one sitting, but that would also be a neat way to see how often the student has returned to the document to keep working on it. And then over here, this is really critical, active writing time, 18 minutes and 54 seconds. So that lets you know how much time was actually spent typing, which can really tell the tale. If this is a really low number here, it would also indicate a lot of copy pasting. Now, there is a details button here, which is really useful. If you give a click on that, it'll actually show you what was copy pasted. And remember, I said I did three things, and this is exactly right. The section on the early years of George Washington, the section on the Revolution, and the section on his presidency. These were the three that, yes, absolutely, I did copy paste all three of those, and it identified that perfectly. So I probably would not have been able to see that as clearly if I just used version history. But revision history gives us a more granular look at what Google's already collecting. It's not, the revision history tool is not collecting anything itself. All it's doing is giving us a better packaged version of what version history is already doing. So I think this is a fantastic tool that you can use to review your students' documents. If you have this extension on, anytime you open up a student's document, again, if you have edit rights, you do need to have edit rights to the document or else you can't see the version history. So heads up on that. So make sure when your students are submitting things like through Classroom, you will have edit rights. Otherwise, make sure you're asking them to, it has to be a requirement. They need to give you edit rights to their documents when you go to grade them. But if you've got this extension turned on, you'll just see this bar across the top. And with a very quick glance, you can just tell right away, oh, this looks very solid, or, ooh, yeah, there's three large copy pastes in here. I better take a look at that and see, did this just get copied from somewhere else, such as an AI tool or even just from a website? So as we continue to use AI, I think these are the sort of tools that can be very helpful. I am very hesitant to recommend those AI tools where it's trying to identify if the writing was done by AI or not. There's a lot of those out there, those AI detectors. They tend to not be very accurate and kind of misses the point of what we're trying to do here, which is to encourage our students to be transparent about their use of AI, to encourage them to include an AI credits or an AI acknowledgements portion at the bottom of their document to say, hey, here's how I used AI. It helped me, you know, brainstorm. It gave me some feedback. Here's a link to my chat with the AI. That's great. But a tool like this is fantastic because it's going to allow us to be able to have a way to verify a lot of that information. So check that out. It's at the moment, at least, a free tool. I do believe from the website, they had mentioned that there may be a paid version in the future with additional features, but they have a commitment to always having a free version of this available. And I was really impressed with that. So that is Revision History. All right, good stuff. Well, those were the three tools I wanted to share from around the internet. The rest of the time, we're going to talk about new resources from my blog. And so to do that, let's start off by talking about the Cool Tools series that is going on right now. So for the month of December, one time every day, so from December 1st through December 24th, I am sharing a cool tool each day. This year, I've decided to go with artificial intelligence as the theme, so it'll be one AI tool per day, and how this can benefit you as a teacher or your students, how it can be used for teaching and learning, how it can be used in school. So the Cool Tools series you can access on the Control Alt Achieve site, bit.ly/cool-tools-23 will get you to the specific blog post that has all of these as they go up. That's the blog post I got pulled up here right now. So right now I've only released, let me refresh this. I just released another one today. So I've got four of these that have been released. Magic School AI was December 1st. On December 2nd, we talked about Question Well. December 3rd was the Padlet AI Image Generator. And December 4th was Goblin Tools. I'm going to take a brief moment to visit each one of these now. We'll run through the four of these and give you a quick overview of each of those tools. But I would encourage you, please do check out the blog post. In addition to the blog post where you can go and go into each one of these tools, each one of these has its own post. So if you go in and give a click on these, you'll see it'll open up a specific post for each one of these tools. In addition to that, there's also a slideshow. If you prefer a slideshow version, there's a link to the slideshow. And that slideshow, if you go into there, you'll be able to click on the individual days here. Such as, you know, day one, and you can read about that. There'll be, of course, a link out to the blog post itself, and you can just work through each of these cool tools on the blog post, on the slideshow as well. All right, so let's go ahead and run through each one of these. Again, Magic School AI, Question Well, Padlet's AI Image Generator, and Goblin Tools are the first four that we have taken a look at. So let's go ahead and dive on in to those. All right, so let's start by taking a look at Magic School AI. So Magic School AI is a collection of over 50 AI-powered tools to help educators create content. They've got tools in all kinds of categories, from planning to content, questions, student support, communications, and on down the line. Basically, what these are like pre-made prompts. So it's like you could go to ChatGPT or Bard or Microsoft's Copilot or any of the other AI tools out there. And yes, you could go and you could type in these prompts yourself to say, hey, I want to have a lesson plan generated on such and such a topic. But sometimes it can be a little intimidating to go to ChatGPT and just see a blinking cursor there, and you're like, I'm not sure what to type in. So basically what they've done here at Magic School AI is they've created really, really nice prompts where you're going to go in and give a little bit of information. Like you'll put in the subject area or the grade level or the topic, and then it's going to be middle person between you and ChatGPT. It's going to take your request and it's going to take their expertly crafted prompts, going to go over to ChatGPT, submit that, and then bring the content back to you. So on one hand, yeah, sure, you could go to ChatGPT and do all this stuff directly, but I do like tools like Magic School because it does help for folks who maybe feel a little intimidated by using a tool like ChatGPT, but also just to broaden our understanding of, wow, I never thought about doing that. Like, oh, I didn't know I could have the AI do X, Y, Z. And so if nothing else, even if it's just using this as an entry point to get more comfortable with AI, and then who knows, maybe you do pop over to ChatGPT and just do it from that on your own after that. Or maybe like, no, this is just really convenient. I really prefer just being able to do this right here at Magic School. So let's go ahead and pop on over to the website and just take a quick look at it. So the website is magicschool.ai. And I'll go ahead and log on into this. Just sign in with my Google account. There we go. And once you get into Magic School, you'll see the large collection of all of the tools they have created, which again, basically are created prompts that we can be using here. I said there's about 50. It's growing all the time. There may be more by the time you get to it, but the last time I checked, there was a little over 50 of these already created. Now, like I said, you could just scroll through all of them. You can favorite the ones you like the best, or you can use the tabs at the top to say, let's look at the planning prompts, where you'll see things like a unit plan generator or a lesson plan generator or exemplars and non-exemplars, a 5E model lesson plan generator, and on and on. Under the content section, we'll see math story problems, a text leveler, a rubric generator, an informational text generator, a YouTube video summarizer, and so on. Under questions, we'll see multiple choice assessment generators, we'll see a math spiral review generator, we'll see an SAT reading questions generator. Under intellectual prep, we've got multiple explanations for complex concepts. We've got clear directions, we've got scaffolding, we've got a sentence starter generator, and on and on. Under student support, we're seeing things like the text leveler tool, the accommodation suggestion generator, we've got a BIP suggestion generator, on and on down the line. So many great resources there. Under communication, we've got a report card comment generator, we've got an email family tool, we've got a text proofreader tool, a thank you note generator. And then under community tools, there's lots of fun things here, such as a teacher joke generator, and even a song generator, a quote of the day generator, and on down the line. So lots of great tools. To use any one of these, let me just grab one of mine that I had starred, maybe the DOK questions generator as an example. So basically, you just click on that, and it's going to ask you again to fill in your information. Now, typically, that's going to involve like a grade level, and that's going to involve a topic, a standard, an objective. There could be other things depending upon the tool, but you're going to fill in as much information as you can. And if you're not sure, you can always click on the See an Exemplar button. I'll do that as an example here, and that will show you what it would look like for this tool to run. So if you're not totally sure how the tool works, just click on the Exemplar button, and it will fill in, for example, this case, seventh grade, and the process of mitosis was the topic. And over here on the side, this was a DOK question generator. You see it has created questions for DOK level 1, 2, 3, and 4. And so now we've got these questions that we could pull from. And now, of course, you can do that very easily. There's a copy button over here. Just click on the copy button. That'll copy the information, which you can now paste into a document or whatever you want and do with however you would like to. So that is Magic School AI. They seem to be adding new resources all the time to this. At the moment, it is free. They have indicated on their blog that they are going to be offering a paid option. So there will be a paid subscription plan, but they say there will always be a free version. Not sure exactly what will be the differences yet on that. They're estimating the premium paid version will probably be around $10 a month for that. So keep an eye out on that. But for now, all of the tools are available, and hopefully going forward, the free version will continue to be a nice, robust option for us. There. All right, good stuff. That's Magic School AI. All right, let's take a look at our next tool. And our next tool was QuestionWell. So QuestionWell is an AI tool that will generate multiple choice questions for you based upon a topic that you have entered, again, as well as other options if you want to include things such as the reading level and the language and the learning outcomes and so forth. But based upon the topic you put in, it will generate multiple choice questions. You can then look through those questions to choose which ones that you want to keep. You can, of course, edit the questions if you need to. But the beauty of this, what I really, really love about this tool, I mean, already that's pretty awesome, just the fact that it can generate all those questions, is the export options. It allows you then to take what you've created and export these into so many different tools. So whether it's Google Forms or Quizzes, Kahoot, Canvas, GimKit, BlueKit, all of these different tools, you can send the questions right over to them very, very easily. Let's go ahead and take a look at how this works. So I'm going to head on over to the QuestionWell website here, and I'll click on try it out to go ahead and pop on in. That will let me log in, just again, logged in with my Google account. And you'll see when you get to the QuestionWell site there, that what you're going to see at the top is a spot where you put in the topic of what you want the quiz to be on. And then below there, you've got an optional spot to include learning outcomes. You don't have to put those in. And then further down, you've got a spot to pick the grade level and to pick the language. Now, when it comes to the actual content that the questions are going to be generated from, you can just put in a topic. That is enough. That is fine. But if you want, if you have like the original text that you want the questions to be generated from, you can put that down here at the bottom. And you see there's three options. There's text, YouTube, or URL. So what that means is you can put in the original text, or you can put in a YouTube video and it will go out and get the transcript from that video, or you can put in a URL to an article or a website and it will go out and grab that and pull that in. Let me show you what I mean by that. So let's say we have a video. So this is a link to a video, Crash Course Kids. I believe this one's on food webs or food chains. So if I go ahead and put in that YouTube link and I click on the button here to search, what it does is it goes out, yep, this is on food webs, and it grabs the transcript from that video. So I could use that as the basis for the quiz that's going to be created. Maybe the student's going to watch this video, and now I want a quiz based on that video. Or let's try another one. Let's say we go to the URL option. Here's a link to a Dogo News article, and now it's going out to grab the text from that article. It's pulling that text in, and again, I could use that as the basis for the quiz that I'm going to be generating. Or it could be something where we have our own text that we're going to be putting in, and we could go to the text box there instead, and we could just paste our own text right into there. So if you had an article, you could copy and paste it, or a blurb from your textbook, or a poem, or whatever it is that the students are going to be reading. Now, the nice thing is you don't even have to have the text, you can just put in the topic. So let's just do that for our example today. Let's say the Boston Tea Party is what we're going to do a quiz on, and maybe I don't have a text on that. Well, what I can do is I can click where it says generate student reading, and it will go ahead and create a reading based upon that topic for the grade level that I choose. Let's say eighth grade, languages English, Boston Tea Party is the topic. I'll click generate student reading, and now it's going to create the actual text that it's going to then be pulling from to create these questions. So a lot of options there for what the quiz is going to be built from. Now, the only big limitation here is with the free version, it does limit how many words can be in that source. So I believe it is 1,000 words is the limit there. So whether it's the YouTube video or the URL, or if you provide the text, it only goes up to 1,000 words that it's going to pull from. Here you can see it has generated the text for us to use. All right, very good. So at that point, we're ready to have it create our multiple choice questions. So all we do is click on generate question set, and it does take it a little bit of time. So you want to be patient there. It'll probably take about a minute or so to read through the content and to generate the questions. And it typically gives you between, 10 to 20 questions. I've seen a variety there. It's not always the same amount, but I don't think I've ever seen much less than 10 or much more than 20 questions that get generated from this. And here they come, and there they are. Awesome. So now on the right-hand side, you'll see my questions that got generated. Let's see how many did it make this time. It made 19. So we got 19 questions from that particular text on the Boston Tea Party. Couple things to note. If there's a question that looks good but maybe needs a little tweaking, you're allowed to edit all of this. You can just click on the question itself, you can click on the answers, and you can edit this and change this if need be. There's also a neat option to check the question with a Google search. So below each one of these questions, there's that link. And if you're like, well, I think that question's right, but I'm not positive, you could click on check with Google search, and it's going to run a Google search on that particular question and the answer that we're looking for here to see if we can get some verification on that information. So that's a nice way to spot check something if you're not totally sure about a particular question that's in there. All right, now next you would want to go through and select the ones that you want to use, and you could pick as many. You could just click on the little plus button to select the questions that you want to use, or you could hit the button at the very top to select all of them, really up to you to choose the questions that you want to use. And that's where the export comes in. So over here on the left-hand side, there's an export section, and this is where you could export, like we said, to so many things: quizzes, Kahoot, Canvas, Schoology, Moodle, Quizlet, Google Forms, you know, on down the line. Let's just say we do Google Forms. That's a common way to do a quiz. So if I click on the Google Forms link there, it has created a Google Form for us. I can click View in Google Forms, and there it is. It has created the quiz for us. It has taken all of those questions, and without us having to copy and paste all this stuff, it has gone ahead and created that quiz. It's put in the questions, the answers. It has set the answer key for us. It has done all the work. Now, of course, we can still edit it here as well if we want, but what a time saver to have all of that already generated for us. That is fantastic. All right, so that is QuestionWell, a great tool to be able to generate multiple choice questions, either from an article, a YouTube video, a text, or just a topic, and then easily allow you to export those out to other resources. Now, as far as the cost goes, again, everything I'm sharing today, these are all free tools, but many of them do have a paid option, or they're indicating that there will be. This one already does have one. So the free version, which is what I was demonstrating for you here, you can create and edit your multiple choice questions. You can export it to all these different services, and you can do an unlimited amount of question sets. There's no limit to that. So what ends up happening if you do move up to a paid plan. I think it looks like it's $7 a month for that. It gives you a few other options, like instead of just multiple choice, it can generate fill in the blank questions. It can generate short answer questions. And then it can do a longer reading. Remember I said you had to limit your readings to 1,000 words that it was basing the quiz on. It can go up to 5,000 words in the paid version. So there are a few other bells and whistles you could get with that. But even on the free mode, which is what I was demonstrating, QuestionWell is definitely a time saver and a valuable tool for teachers. All right, let's move on to our next tool. So the next one that I shared was Padlet's AI-powered text-to-image generator tool. All right, so this is really neat. Now, Padlet's been around for a long time. Padlet's not a new tool. Hopefully, many people are familiar with Padlet. It's a collaborative, whiteboard tool where students and or anybody can go and add notes and images and links all in one place. It's a great way to do some collaborative brainstorming. Fantastic tool. Well, Padlet has recently added some AI features, and one of them is a text-to-image generator. So with Padlet, you can now have it create a picture based upon the text that you have provided. Now, earlier in the session, we had talked about using AI-generated images as writing prompts. And so that's a possibility. This can be a way to make your own images that you want to provide to students as a writing prompt for them. Or this could be great if you wanted to have students illustrate a story they've written, or if you want to illustrate a story that you are reading to the students. So this would be a neat way to go in and create images that go along with the story that the students have written or that you are providing to the students. Or this could just be useful for you to create images for content you're creating. Maybe you're making a slideshow and you can't find the picture you need. You're like, I need a picture that fits this better and I can't find a good one. Or a website or a document or whatever. You could describe the image that you want and the AI will generate that picture. Now again, it is creating these pictures. It's not Googling them and finding them. It is actually creating these pictures from scratch and you're allowed to use them in any way that you would like to. So let's try that out. Let me head on over to the Padlet website and I'll pull up my demo Padlet that I've got here. And what you're going to do is you're going to go to the bottom right hand corner and click down here to add content. And from there, there's a little three dots button for more attachment types. When you click on that, it gives you the full list of all the things you can add to a Padlet. And one of them is a button that says, I can't draw. And that's the name of the button. That is the AI image generator tool in Padlet. So I can come here and click on I can't draw, and this is where it's now going to ask me to describe the image that I want. So for mine, I'm going to keep it really simple. You can actually put in a really long description. I've seen some excellent examples where people typed, you know, a whole paragraph to give a really specific example. I'm just going to say that I want a colorful picture of a penguin on a skateboard wearing sunglasses, and I'll go ahead and submit that. Now, again, it may take it a moment to generate these, but once it does, what you should get is about, I believe six is what I've seen each time, typically six images that it ends up generating for you. And in this case, we've got six different pictures of a penguin wearing sunglasses who is skateboarding. Well, one of them didn't get the sunglasses, but five of them got the sunglasses. And I said a colorful picture. They definitely are very colorful here. And so I may say this one down here at the bottom, I like that one a lot. I could click on that. And what that's going to do then is it's going to add that. And then I can go ahead and click publish, and it's going to put it onto my Padlet. Now you can see I've done that with some other examples already here. This earlier one I did of a boy playing with his cat with a red ball, that one came from a story. There was a story about a boy playing with his cat, and I use this as an example to show how you could illustrate an existing story with this. And then the next one was I think the prompt I put in was a friendly robot smiling. And then the last one we just did here was the colorful picture of a penguin wearing sunglasses who is on his skateboard. And so the idea behind this is You can generate any of these images by putting in a text description, find one that you like, and then you can use it however you would like. You can certainly leave it in the Padlet, and you could share the Padlet with the students, and they could go there to access the image, but you can just give a click on the image, and you can download this. You could just do a right click on it, and you could say, I want to save this image, or you could just copy the image and just paste it right into a slideshow or into a document. So anything you create here in Padlet, you're able to then go ahead and copy and paste or download and reuse elsewhere. So again, if you're looking for a free way to generate AI images by providing text, the Padlet I Can't Draw feature is a really nice way to be able to do that. Now, again, I've been talking about price with all of these, so I will clarify this for you. I am using the free version of all the tools today. Everything you're seeing here, these are all the free versions. So the free version of Padlet, the limitation is that you're only allowed to have 3 active Padlets. And as you saw in my example, I only have 1 Padlet that I'm just using over and over again. So this is perfectly fine. You can just use 1 Padlet, well, up to 3 in this case, and you could keep adding more images to those, and then of course copying and pasting them or downloading them as needed. There are multiple paid versions of Padlet that provide you a lot more flexibility with how many Padlets you have and how large of the content can be on those. But even with the free version, this is a wonderful, powerful tool to allow us to be able to do text to image generation. All right, good stuff. Well, let's move on to our next tool, which is Goblin Tools. So Goblin Tools is a collection of small, simple, single-task AI-powered tools mostly designed to help neurodivergent people with tasks that they find overwhelming or difficult. And this includes a lot of things such as the ability to break a task down into smaller steps or to rewrite text in a way that is more professional or to judge the tone of a passage of text and on and on. Let's go ahead and take a look at this tool. So this is Goblin Tools. So goblin.tools is the website. And across the top, you can see the tools that we can choose from. We'll take a look at a couple of these. We won't run through every single one of these, but we will take a look at a couple of these real quick here. So for the first one here, let's say we want to do the Magic To Do tool, which is going to break things down into smaller tasks. And let's say my task is that I need to read a book and write a book report on it. So I'm going to come in here, I'm going to add in my task, write my book report on Watership Down. Let's say that's the book that I'm reading and I need to write a book report on it. So I can put that on in here for the Magic To Do tool. Click on the little plus to add it into the list of tasks I need to accomplish. And then I can use the little magic wand button to the right to break down the item. So let's give it a moment to do that. It's now going to generate a list of steps I need to accomplish to be able to do my book report here. And at this point, I can now go through and I can check these off one at a time as I work down through these. And if need be, I can even take a task and break it down into a subtask. So I could come over here and click on the button again, and any task that I want, I could break down into a subtask. And now there'll be even, you know, more details on just reading the book. Maybe I just need to be able to break that down before I move on to taking notes and doing all of these other things. And at any point, you can always go in and you can clear out the subtasks if you decided that you didn't need those. But a really nice way to take something that you need to accomplish and be able to see all the steps that can be useful to get that accomplished and be able to check those off as you go through. All right, let's look at another one of the tools here at Goblin Tools. There's one called Judge. This is a tool where basically what you're going to do is you're going to put in some text, and then you're going to ask this tool to judge the tone of the text. The idea behind this is, what if you sometimes feel like you don't always quite catch the intention of some text that you're reading. Like, is it sarcastic or is it serious? Is this meant to be funny or not? If you find that reading the tone of text, or if you have students who have a difficult time identifying the tone of text, this can be a nice way to do that. So what I've got here is some text that is intentionally sarcastic. This is a little blurb about camping, and it's written in such a way where it's making it sound like camping is amazing, but you can tell there's a lot of sarcasm here where it's talking about how bad camping actually is, but it's writing it in a very sarcastic manner. Well, if I put that text in and I click judge, it's going to read through the text and now give me some feedback on the connotation of it. And you can see at the bottom it's saying this text is coming across as sarcastic and mocking. The author employs quotation marks around certain words to suggest that they're being used ironically, and it goes on and explains how this is actually, you know, a critical, pessimistic, and even resentful approach toward the idea of camping. So, neat way to be able to understand what a text is actually saying. And then another tool that they've got here at Goblin Tools would be the formalizer tool. This is if you have some text that you want to adjust. Maybe your text you feel is a little too spicy, as they like to put it here, and you're like, okay, I need to tone down what I've written before I send off this email or whatever the case might be. So why don't we just use that exact same text? Let's use that sarcastic camping text. I can put that in, and then I can come here where it says make my text more professional, more polite, less snarky, easier to read, more formal, more sociable, less emotional, grammatically correct, put it into bullet points, you know, so a lot of ways we can convert this. Well, I think probably less snarky might be a good option for this one. And if I hit convert, it's going to read through that and it will rewrite it for us, hopefully in a tone that is not quite so sarcastic, and it does look like that is what is happening there. And of course, then I can just copy and paste that as needed. Now, there's some other tools here as well. There's the estimator tool, which helps you estimate how much time it's going to take to complete something. There's the compiler tool, where you can just put a brain dump of things that you need to accomplish, and it can organize those for you. And there's even the chef tool, where you can put in what ingredients you have, and it can tell you what you could make for lunch with those. So a lot of really neat options there at Goblin Tools. Now, Goblin Tools is completely free. There is not a paid version for Goblin Tools, and according to the website, that is their idea is to always offer these tools for free. They do have a mobile app version that does charge for the mobile app, and they say that's what they use to help offset the cost of the website. So because the mobile apps cost, you know, a couple of bucks or whatever the case is, that helps pay for the website to be able to keep running as well. All right, so those were, from this last week, those were the four cool tools that I have shared so far in my Cool Tools 2023 series, Magic School AI, QuestionWell, Padlet AI Image Generator, and Goblin Tools. That means there's 20 more tools coming up. So if you have not yet plugged into that, please do. Again, that's at bit.ly/cool-tools-23. A lot of great AI tools to cover there. All right. Well, there was just a couple more new things that I shared on my blog this last week, and we'll just touch on those pretty quickly. The first is what's new in Google. So each month we have our GEG Ohio, Google Educator Group of Ohio meeting, and it is the GEG of Ohio, but anybody is welcome to partake. Doesn't matter where you're from, as long as you have an interest in using Google tools in schools. This is a monthly meeting that we do virtually, so it's done as a streaming video, typically about an hour and a half or 2 hours, and we cover everything new in Google from the last month. We take questions and answers. We have a show and tell section where we share cool updates and resources and tools. Well, we just just had our GEG Ohio meeting for November. And you can get to that on the Control-Alt-Achieve blog. And the video is there. You can watch. And of course, you can also open up the agenda document as well. There's a Google document that goes along with each meeting. In that document, you'll find all of our contact info, you'll get links to upcoming events, and then, of course, everything that's new in Google Workspace from the last month. You'll see all of those updates in there, as well as our show and tell section where we share helpful resources and the Q&A section as well. So please do check those out. If you're able to join us live, that's fantastic. We typically do these the last Wednesday of the month. So if you go over to the GEG Ohio website, which is at bit.ly/GEG Ohio. You can head over there and you can see all of the dates. So like our next one is January 31st. We don't have one over the winter break, but January 31st, we will have our next one. They're typically 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So if you can join us live, great. You can watch the live video and participate in the chat. But if that doesn't work, no worries. You can always watch the recorded video later. Still catch all of that helpful information. So that was our GEG Ohio meeting this last month. And then the last thing that I have to share here would be the eight googly wintertime activities for kids post that I recently put up. So over the years, I have collected and created lots of googly activities that fit nicely into the winter season. With holidays coming up here, understandably, our students start getting a little excited, and it might be a little difficult sometimes to keep them focused during these couple of weeks leading up to the winter breaks that are coming up here. And so it's nice to have some activities that tie into the winter theme, but aren't just busy work, things that are actually helping to develop technology skills or skills with creativity, writing, etc., etc. And so that's what this is. This is a collection of eight different activities that I've created over the years that use Google tools and do tie in to our winter themes. So you can get to those on the Control-Alt-Achieve blog, as well as, of course, you know, all of the links that we are looking at here today, you can always get to at bit.ly/CAA-links. That'll get you to all of the links that we're exploring here. But what you're going to find in this blog post are descriptions and links to all of the templates for all eight of these activities. Now, again, these are all free. You can make copies of these, use them however you want. That's what they are there for. So these activities include things like the famous Build a Snowman with Google Slides template, where the students create their own snow person and then write a story about them. There's the Decorate a Holiday Tree with Google Slides, where you create a holiday tree and again, talk about what is one of your favorite holiday traditions. There is the Wintertime Magnetic Poetry activity with Google Drawings, where you drag and drop words onto a canvas to create your own poem that is winter themed. On the left-hand side, there's just some standard words. On the right-hand side, there are some more winter themed words. So it's kind of like a magnetic poetry activity. Then there's the holiday greeting cards with Google Drawings, where students can use a template in Google Drawings to create their own holiday greeting card. They can print out and fold and have a holiday card created. Next up is the 12 Days of Christmas Guided Google Sheets Math Activity. This is using Google Sheets, and it focuses on how many presents would you actually get if you got every present over the 12 Days of Christmas. And this teaches math, but it also teaches spreadsheet skills. It's a really neat guided learning activity for students. Next up, we've got the pixel art ornaments with Google Sheets, where again, we're in Google Sheets, but we're creating pixel art where we're filling in cells with colors, in this case, to create an ornament. You can have a little math connection with this where the students also figure out how many cells of each color there are and what fraction of the whole that would be. Nevertheless, when done, you can print these out and cut them out and put them up around the room. Next up, we've got the Wintertime Emoji Rebus Stories with Google Docs, where we're using Google Docs and the ability to add emojis to a Google Doc and creating a Rebus Story. So a Rebus Story is where you write a story that includes text and images together. This could be great for little ones who maybe don't know all the words, but want to be able to use these images to represent things, or you could have older students writing stories for younger students as well. And then the eighth and final one is the Holiday Lights Writing with Google Docs. So this is a fun one that uses a add-on called Fun Text. Basically, the students write up whatever their story is or whatever their article is or their essay, whatever it is you're having them write, and they use Fun Text to turn the text into what basically looks like holiday lights, like you might see this time of year. So basically we make the document black for the background, and then we use the Fun Text tool to either make them rainbow colored or randomly colored, and it makes it look more like holiday lights. You can go a step further and you can actually copy and paste that into a slideshow, and you can do multiple versions of it so that it looks like they're actually twinkling, like the lights are changing. You can have the same text on multiple slides and just rerun the Fun Text add-on to change the colors each time. So all of those can be found in my blog post on Control-Alt-Achieve about 8 googly wintertime activities for kids. All right, and that's it. Wow, those are a lot of links, but those are the links from this week. Now, if you do have any questions or comments or resources to share, please do connect with me. You can do that at bit.ly/CAA-connect. There you'll find links to my email, my blog, my social media, YouTube, the newsletter, my discussion group, my Facebook group, and so much more. And of course, everything that we looked at here today and all of the past links and all the links to come can all be found at bit.ly/CAA-links, where you'll find all of the resources from this episode. Until next time, thanks so much and take care.